You're listening to The Sky is Falling, a Chicago sports podcast brought to you by OnTapSportsNet.com. Cody, Tommy, and Sean talk Bulls, Cubs, Blackhawks, Bears, Illinois college sports, and even the damn White Sox. Plus, these guys are all degenerate gamblers, and they know how to have a good time. So crack 'em, kids, because The Sky is Falling podcast starts now.
And welcome into the Sky's Falling Podcast, special podcast episode this week. If you've been following me on Twitter, I was supposed to put this up on Monday. If you listened to our last episode, it's supposed to be up on Monday. Literally back-to-back days because we put our last episode up on Sunday. It is now Thursday. If you're listening, this is probably Friday morning on your commute. So I just didn't get it up. It's been a very busy, busy time with moving and my day job. And all that, but y'all don't want to hear any excuses. It's fine. But this is a special podcast episode. I kind of threw it in the back pocket just in case if certain things happened, and those things happened, as in Anthony Rizzo, Javi Baez, and Chris Bryant got traded. So we talked about it in our last episode. We said our piece. We're sad. It is what it is. But eventually, Cubs fans and myself, we have to move forward. So with that said, today's guest is Cubs minor league prospect Cole Franklin. He is in the top 10 of MLB pipeline Cubs prospects. I believe he was much higher, but after all the trades, I think he's towards either 9 or 10 in the system now. I could be completely wrong. But I talked to him months ago. I think it was in May. I think I talked to him in May. And, you know, I just wanted to catch up with him. At the time, he wasn't pitching. He wasn't at any of the Cubs affiliates because of an injury. But he's recently put up some videos of him getting his arm going and on a mound and stuff, which is very, very exciting. I have high hopes for him. I think he can be one of the Cubs' next big pieces for the next era of Cubs baseball. He's just an overall good dude. We talked a lot of different stuff. It's been a couple months, so I don't exactly remember what we talked, but we talked anything from video games to baseball, obviously, and just all kinds of really fun stuff. I think I talked to him for about 20 minutes. But anyway, just a special podcast to just kind of, I guess, get us over the hump into the next era of Cubs baseball. You know, if you're a Sox fan and you see this, or if you're a Bears fan who likes the Sox, or a Bulls fan who likes the Sox, and you're wondering why Cody, why have you never had Sox minor league players on? Well, motherfuckers, I have tried to get Sox players on this podcast. I have. It's hard enough to get people who like the Sox that work in Chicago media on this podcast. Somehow, some way, I'm able to do it with people who like the Cubs, but I can't do it with people who like the White Sox. I've been able to get a handful of people, but not as many as I would like. So don't yell at me about not being fair or being biased. I am about as neutral on this podcast about literally everything, except whenever I start talking about my fandom and shit like that. But if you're wondering, that's why. But anyway, people are going to start talking about Cole Franklin here soon, if not sometime the rest of this year, whenever he gets moved to an affiliate, I will assume either single A or double A. They're going to be talking about him next year if he is, ready to go in spring training and stuff like that. So with that said, I'm going to stop talking and let's get into this interview with Cole Franklin. Okay, we are now joined once again, reoccurring guest, Cubs prospect Cole Franklin. We had him on the show, I think it was like July last year. Pandemic was in full force. Everything sucked. We were all at home. I was talking to Cole about what he's doing at home. And now I'm sure he's excited to be back on the baseball diamond. Cole, how's it going, man?
Man, it's going great. Glad to be back. Yeah, but it feels a lot better than it did last year when I was on here.
For sure. And that you, I mean, I can say that, not that it was not a good, it, not that it wasn't good to have you on the show, but like just everything in general, it's like fun to finally be able to talk about sports again. I don't even think the baseball season had started back up yet. Whenever you were on the show. So we were just talking about a bunch of random ass shit. And now it's like, you know, minor league season's back. I was just tweeting at the Myrtle Beach Pelicans today. Cause they're the, I don't know if you saw, but like those, beer baseball bats like went viral on Twitter, and like I really want one. And like I mean, you can't blame me for wanting one right as I drink this Miller Lite, but you know, it's just kind of like nice to see minor league baseball back, because stuff like that is like why fans really love minor league baseball outside of like prospects and stuff like that.
No, exactly. It needed to be back for 100%. Like minor leagues, mm-hmm. like, it's such a like you can interact so much more, you know, with the players. Fans and everything, especially in minor league baseball. It just the world needed it. Everything needed to come back to normal for sure.
Right. Well, you know, I've you know, we've been following you ever since we had you on the show last year. And before we went live, you told me you're out in Arizona. And I was trying to find like any kind of stats. And I'm honestly, I don't, maybe I'm not following like close enough, but why are you out in Arizona and not at, I thought you would probably be either South Bend or Tennessee. What can you give me? Can you give me a reason why you're in Arizona?
Yeah. So it's not like any like injuries or anything. I had like just a little, like a little hiccup thing with like my intake, like EKG stuff. And so I just had to take a little time off during spring training. So I'm now here just building back up to leave.
Okay. So when do you think you're going to, do you know where you're going to be headed to?
I actually have zero clue where I'm
going. No idea? Okay. Yeah. I mean, just off, you know, I'm no Brian Smith. I'm no Greg Huss. I'm no, you know, I can't think of any of the other big Cubs prospect bloggers. But I thought that you would probably be in South Bend this year. But, you know, I wouldn't be mad if you're in Tennessee either. So, yeah, I guess how's it been, I guess – how was minor league spring training, being back around guys, you know, getting that feeling back and stuff like that?
Dude, it was unreal. It's kind of like, it felt like normal. Like if ever, like it felt like nothing happened, like it felt like there was no break, but, it was good, you know, to kind of get into a regular routine, like seeing everybody kind of getting your throwing down and, kind of just being able to know that you're going to be able to go to the field every single day. And it was a relief, like knowing that baseball is going to be back for sure this year.
Yeah. So we were talking before we went live. I tagged you and Max Bain in a photo on our podcast. You can follow us at Skies Falling Pod if you haven't. And you guys were both wearing the same number in minor league spring training. It was just the funniest thing. How's that work? How'd that happen?
I'm not really sure how like the numbers, like, so when I first got drafted in 18, I showed up and number 46 was in my locker. So you don't really say like when you first get there, and I guess they gave Bane the same number. I mean, there's a couple of 33s. I think Jensen, I'm not sure who else has it, but, there's like a couple 33s, a couple 46s, but it's like some people have the same number.
Yeah. I just find that so funny. Cause you just, yeah, I don't know. It's almost like, I don't want to say it's disrespect, but it's kind of like they just had all these jerseys and they're just like, here, guys, choose one. So, you showed me the Brendan Davis shirt you got on right now. I love to see that, especially from other guys in the organization, man. A lot of people, I don't think anyone really talked about Brendan Davis until, you know, I guess this spring, and they kind of, he's been talked about, I guess, before the newest prospect rankings came out from like MLB Pipeline and stuff. But like, I think his name's starting to really catch some eyes. What was it like, you know, like, I know you lived with him last year and I'm assuming you're still rooming with him out there in Arizona. Yeah. How has he, I guess, grown as a, you know, person, player, whatever you want to call it, you know, just around you, and how much closer have you guys gotten?
Oh, dude, that's like, he's like one of my best friends. He's like my brother, basically. But
I see you guys tweeting at each other and just trolling each other on Twitter all the time. Cracks me up.
Yeah, we have to. But honestly, like, if you were to met like Brennan, like when we all got drafted, like the first time I met him, he was just super humble. And like, honestly, he's never changed. Like, he's still the clown dude that I know. And so that's the thing. Like, I, you can see, like, real people, like, you know, once they start getting some clout, they, like, they start different. But Brendan never done that.
Yeah. No, I like to hear that because, especially in an organization like the Cubs, because they're, you know, it's not to put, like, the Miami Marlins down, but, like, I think the fan bases are largely different. And once you start getting a lot of attention, because I feel like Cubs fans especially, they'll pay attention to, like, what's going on down the farm all the time. And whenever guys like him are getting attention and stuff like that, it, like you said, it could change someone. But glad to hear that, you know, he's humble. You know, as much as I'm glad that he's humble, I hope that he has that confidence, is building confidence, and is, you know, ready to, you know, open some eyes here in the next couple of years.
I actually face him this coming Tuesday in live EPs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you keep that in your head, like how many times he's gotten you or how many times you've gotten him?
Not when I'm on the mound, but like when we come home. We all, like however the day went. Like,
yeah.
One person's ragging the other. That's how it is with us in golf too. Like, so last him in golf, so I'm currently the champ. And so I let him hear it all the time.
Yeah. That's hilarious. I love it. Absolutely love it. So you're out in Arizona. You mentioned, you know, you're just kind of building up. Like, I know when we last talked, you talked about, you know, different pitches you're working on. Is there anything new in that realm, what you're trying to, I guess, what you're trying to accomplish when you get to whatever site you're going to?
I think it's been kind of, I've really improved on the breaking ball that I think that was the last time I was on here. And so now it's kind of just for me, like, learning hitters more and, you know, pitching at a higher level, pitching, like, to where I want to be, not to where I'm at.
Yeah.
And that's kind of helped me a ton, kind of, like, you know, like, hitters' tendencies, kind of see them in the box more, like, learn more about the hitters I'm facing. And I feel like that's helped me a lot, just kind of, like, almost, like being more mature as a pitcher. And not just, like, you know, throwing the ball, having a plan.
Yeah. I mean, that's good to have. Some guys can just go out there and throw gas 101 down the plate now these days. And I feel like that's all cool and dandy, but I feel like learning the art of pitching is something that I guess is kind of like, I don't want to say it's gone, but I feel like guys who can't throw 101 or whatever, like, that's something that the perfecting is something that they're always working on throughout their careers. And maybe leads to them having a longer career, because eventually you lose that velocity, you know what I mean? So, you know, I feel like it's good that you're doing that and you're trying to, you know, just continue to get better at something. I feel like just any Cubs fan or anyone in general who's, you know, people who are into prospects and stuff, they can appreciate.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Absolutely. When we last talked, you're out in Oklahoma, correct?
Correct, yeah.
So kind of give me the process of just like what you did going into spring training this year. Like, I don't know, were you stay in Oklahoma through the end of the year, or did you move out to Arizona to, you know, once things started to open up a little bit, especially out in Arizona? I know, and even Oklahoma was pretty open too, but like, what was the process of just going through the rest of last year after we talked?
So the place I train out in Oklahoma is called the Sports SPI, and it's like a super like high tier like training facility in Tulsa, like where I'm from. And so basically, so one of my best friends got drafted first round last year to the Nationals, Cade Cavalli at OU. And so me and him were basically just training together the whole time at SPI in Tulsa. And so, I mean, it's always good, like, you know how it's, you can kind of get off path when it's by yourself, and so to have someone push you the whole time. And that was, so basically it was just me and him working out together every day, and just kind of working on stuff, you know, getting stronger.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially last year, whenever you just, like, you know, you're just trying to have some sort of normalcy, I bet that was huge for you.
Oh, it was amazing, because he lives, like, 7 minutes away from me, and so, like, me and him were, like, we'd just be bored, and we're like, bro, let's go up there, because like a lot of places in Oklahoma, like, never like mandated a mask. That's kind of nice. And so everything was pretty open.
Right.
And so, I mean, to a certain extent, it felt like we weren't in a pandemic, but.
Yeah. I understand exactly what you mean. Cause yeah, like as someone here in Illinois and Chicago, where obviously it's a lot harder, like even just to like, I don't know, just to go out to eat, it was a fucking pain in the ass sometimes. So like just to be able to like go do something and not feel like you're in a pandemic for just a little bit,
yeah.
It kind of changes your mindset and how you're feeling about just your entire day. Honestly, I bet.
Oh, exactly, dude. Yeah, 100%. Sitting there, it kind of gives you like, it's just like all your thoughts are just negative when it's like, oh, I can't go do this, can't do that. Mm-hmm. It's
like, you can only go with this many people. Like yeah. I remember St. Patrick's Day weekend, like Chicago opened up a little bit and they were, you know, you had to make a reservation. You could only go with like six people, or you could only have six people at a table. And if you had more than six, like that person couldn't sit at your table. And it's just like, fuck, dude. Like it was so fucking like, it was like kind of just draining. Like it was almost like, this is so fucking pointless that I'm even trying to do this right now. I'm trying to be normal, but like, they're not letting me be normal. So it's just, I understand exactly what you're saying of just like having that sense of like normal, like that little bit of normalcy, even though, you know, you were in a spot where you didn't have to wear a mask or whatever. And like, that's, it just kind of like, you know, makes you feel like just a little bit normal.
Yes, 100%. I mean, that's pretty basically the only thing I was trying to find last year too. So yeah. It was nice.
Yeah. So, you know, so obviously I kind of already mentioned it, Brandon Davis, you live with him. Who, you lived with a couple other guys, didn't you?
Yeah, so my first year I lived with Cole Roeder, Brennan, Chris Allen, and Cam Sanders. And DJ Artist a little bit every now and
then. Okay. Cam Sanders, he has been lighting it up.
Oh, yeah.
In double A right now, correct?
Yeah.
He's like hitting like 98. I'm seeing highlights of him touching 98. And I'm like, I've never even heard of this guy. He came out of nowhere. It's kind of like Max Bane. Like he out until like whenever I just kind of did some research and learned about him, I was like, we need to get this guy on the show just before he blows up. But like Cam Sanders is kind of being that guy right now. What's it like? Because you're in Arizona, I've been seeing your tweets and you're just really boosting guys up that you either live with or just in the organization. Like, I guess what's it like watching those guys succeed after watching them kind of come up and stuff like that?
Dude, it's amazing. So like for reference, like Cam Sanders, I always felt like he was super underrated and like no one really, you know, talked about him, heard about him. And yeah. Like kind of knowing like the kid he is and like how he goes about his business, how he competes. It's like, mm-hmm. it's something that like sucks for like, you know, an outsider to look in on and realize that he's getting kind of looked over on. And so that's the biggest thing for me. I mean, I absolutely love, you know, seeing anybody in the organization succeed. Like my best friends, like, you know, the sky's the limit for them.
And right.
Anytime just seeing, you know, the boys happy, it makes me happy. And like doing good and like succeeding.
Yeah, for sure. You know, like it's been for a fan like me, it's been a pleasure to watch because during the, you know, this era of Cubs baseball, and I feel like I mentioned this to you in our last episode that we did with you, like, you know, the knock that the Cubs farm system has had on it for, you know, most of like, you know, the Theo Epstein era was that they couldn't develop any like pitching in the farm. And it's like, I don't want to say out of nowhere, cause like, I'm a diehard and I followed more than the casual fan, but like we got some guys coming and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think we're in a great spot. Honestly.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, very underrated.
Yeah, no, you know, for sure.
Sometimes it's a dog though.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, do you ever, like, how often do you watch the Cubs play themselves?
Every now and then. I mean, usually I come home from the field. It depends. Like, I take a 3-hour nap and then usually play Call of Duty. And so I'm not too big on watching TV. Like, if it's – I'm not watching Netflix, but, like, usually not too much.
No. But, I mean, you're a baseball player, so do you not watch a lot of baseball then in general?
Yeah, I usually the only time I watch baseball is if it's, like, you know, one of my, like, good friends playing, pitching.
Okay. I can respect that because, I mean, yeah. You know, you know that guy, you want to watch that. But I also see the other sides, like playing all day
for
it. So it's like you kind of need that break.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I kind of get your mind off things. That's why I play Call of Duty all the time. I was like, as much as I want to, I was just baseball for 7 hours a day, and I don't really care about going to watch it.
Are you playing Cold War?
Dude, yeah. Warzone. Yeah.
Warzone, okay. Yeah. Is it weird if I tell you that I am addicted to Nuketown 24/7?
Dude, that's a good one to be addicted to, though.
I know. I literally play it every day. I went through a stretch where I was just playing 2K a lot, but like now I'm back on Call of Duty, and like I live on Nuketown 24/7. And I won't lie, like in past Call of Duties, I've never been very good. But for some reason, if I just play Nuketown 24/7, I am like a complete different person. I don't understand what it is.
Dude,
what'd you say?
I said you go crazy on Nuketown 24/7.
Yeah, just go crazy.
I absolutely love the game. I've been playing forever, though. Like, I got to the point in high school where I was, like, playing Call of Duty for money. Like, search and destroy.
Really?
So, like, there's, like, websites that you can go on, like, hook up your, sign up your PSN account and go play, like, $5 matches, like, $6, $10, like, for money. And so that's what I was doing in high school sometimes when I was bored. I'm not gonna lie, I was pretty good.
Esports is like really blowing up, man. Like, you should do that now. Is a way to just kind of. I know, obviously, a lot of athletes are doing that now. You should bring that back. Unless you have been, and I just haven't seen it. But like, is that something you've thought about?
Like streaming?
Yeah, just like streaming or something. Because especially like, again, I don't know what you're like, but if you play all the time, I'm going to assume that you're probably way better than I am. So, I mean, and even if it is. Even so, like a lot of guys stream and they're, average. So it's all about just like, can you entertain a crowd? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you're good, that's a good start. And then I feel like that's a good way to branch out to fans too.
Yeah. So I did, like, I legit had, like, back home in Oklahoma, I have a huge setup and like streaming stuff. And then I kind of just stopped doing it because it's kind of hard to get like viewers and stuff on there. Like, I was like, dude, I'm wasting my time.
Yeah. Damn. Well, I'm not okay. I won't say that I'm surprised that it's hard to get viewers, but also it's kind of like you've kind of like built a name up on, on social media now. Like, maybe I don't know. Maybe go have, like, when you get to South Bend, have like just two crazy, like, a good couple month period of just going crazy, doing just opening eyes, and then bring it back because people are going to be talking about you. that's when you do it, man. That's my two cents.
That is a good idea.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to overspeak.
A little higher status before I start.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, cause I mean, I won't lie. But, I mean, I hadn't really heard of you until last year after talking to a couple of my guys who had you on the Cubs on Tap podcast. And at the time, this podcast wasn't on that network. And I listened to your interview on there and I was like, this guy is cool, dude. Like, I need to get him on this show. And then that happened. And, now we're here talking about Call of Duty and stuff. So that's why I'm saying, go through a nice little stretch on the diamond, and people are going to realize who you are, even though I feel like you've kind of built a name within Cubs fans, at least. And, who knows, maybe it'll help.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Yeah. What other games are you playing besides Call of Duty?
Fortnite. I only play Fortnite because Brendan can't play Call of Duty because he's actually, and so me and Laura in Fortnite.
Okay. Whenever I finally get him on, I'm going to let him know that you said that.
Dude, I tell him all that. Another person telling him how bad.
That's hilarious. I love that, like, you guys got that camaraderie where you guys just, like, kind of shit on each other. I love that. Because I love it because on the current Cubs roster, you're just not seeing a lot of it on social media, at least. So it's not that, like, I need it. It's just, like, something that you kind of – I feel like the fans can really relate to that kind of shit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just being real with people, it's funny.
Right. Right. So, like I've kind of mentioned Max Bain a couple of times already, he's like, he's making videos on YouTube. He's doing, all kinds of different stuff on social media. And it's like really like, I feel like that's kind of led to like his name getting out there. Like, what do you think about that? Is that something that, I mean, you mentioned the streaming thing, whatever, but like, is it, have you thought about that? Because like, obviously baseball has had a problem like building its own brand or marketing its own players. Like what, like if you were going to, I guess either whether it was like start making like vlogs of like your training or whatever, or like trying to like just build like your own name online or whatever, like what would something that you've thought about possibly doing to like help build that?
So like I was honestly thinking, so like last year, like during quarantine, I was thinking like there's really never been like someone like who started a YouTube channel from minor league baseball and worked their way up, but video like documented the whole thing on YouTube. And so I was thinking, I was like, because like, I feel like that also like, you know, inspire younger kids to like really go after it, and, you know, and kind of just show them like kind of the stuff that we do that helps us, you know, continue our career, and that's something that they could do as well, like it, whether it's, you know, middle school, you know, high school, just to get better. And so that's what I was thinking of, like starting a YouTube channel where it's kind of just like documenting everything I did throughout the days.
Yeah. So that now leads me to, where is it then? Because I haven't seen it.
I didn't start it. Yeah, because it's so hard for me to take myself serious, especially like if I'm getting like filmed on camera the whole time. I could not like be like just like normal. I would always be like doing something, so I couldn't. I was like,
bro. You and Brendan, I feel like that would be a good thing for you and Brendan Davis to both do, considering you guys are so close. Like, yeah. If you, you know, just especially right now, you're both in Arizona. I know you might not, you guys won't be in Arizona together probably soon, but like maybe if not this, like not this year, like maybe in the off season or something like that. Yeah. Especially like, you know, cause I don't know what a lot of people, I think Brendan Davis is going to be on the Cubs at some point next year. I feel like that's his trajectory. And for you, I mean, the sky's a fucking limit. Who fucking knows? I'm rooting for you. I think you, I mean, if you go to South Bend, I could see you there, if not at the end of the next year, but the year after, just based off, you know, what history shows and from other minor league prospects. But like maybe this off season would be a good time to just kind of like dive into that. And then like kind of that will, you know, give everyone like a good year and a half to show like, this is how I started and got to the majors this way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, trust me, we've definitely talked about it and thought about it, but we were just like, it's just a, you know, it's a dip. It's a grind to keep up with, because we have to video plus go to the field, and like, we don't want to like really video at the field. So
yeah,
that's like the different stuff that we would face.
Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, you don't want it to become more important than what you're actually there to do. Totally get that. Exactly. Right. And that's kind of why I've been so, I don't want to say like mind blown, but more just kind of like impressed by what Bane's been doing, because like, I feel like, you know, some of the guys that are already at professional level, I feel like some of them try a little too hard. Like I don't hate Trevor Bauer. I think Trevor Bauer, what he's trying to do is great. And like, he's trying to build like the game and all that stuff. Sometimes I feel like he tries a little too hard, but like if you get someone like in the minors who no one's really heard of, and they just kind of try to show how they get to wherever they're going, and then, you know, have their own personality before anyone really has a chance to decide who they think this guy is. Like a lot of people, like Trevor Bauer was already kind of controversial anyway before he started making YouTube videos. So like, that's why it's kind of like, if you get someone who isn't really well known yet and kind of shows what you kind of explain, I feel like that could be like a game changer. So I don't know, man. I feel like this entire recording, I've just been like spewing ideas for you to just like get bigger. So I hope I'm helping you out, man.
No, yeah, I appreciate it. I like it.
Cool, man. Well, before we get out of here, been on here for about 25 minutes. You got any questions for me? Because I didn't ask you that last time. I feel like this is a good time.
So, all right, Call of Duty class, what's your go-to on Nuketown?
Okay, I was using the MP5 recently, but then I can't remember the name of the gun now because it's I don't even like go to look at it. I just click. Yeah. It's my custom nine. That's all I know. but I know it's like a submachine gun. I was using that. I was using the AK-47 for a little bit. I know a lot of people use the AUG. I don't understand why people like the AUG. I do not like the AUG. But yeah, the MP5 is usually what I'm using the most. And then I use the proximity mines and the Simtex grenades, and then whatever the shot is that like kind of heals you up. I'm really bad with the terms of names and stuff. I just play.
I got you.
Yeah. So.
When you were a kid, if you could have one job, what was your dream job growing up?
Dude, okay. So like in high school, not even high school, it's more like junior high. High school, I learned that that shit was dead. But junior high, I really wanted to play in the NBA just because like I played basketball all the way growing up. I played basketball until like my junior year. But I just was not good. I was not good. But I guess as if it wasn't like an athlete, as a kid, I always wanted to be like a truck driver because I loved like when I was a kid, when my mom would drive down the road, she would like go around them obviously because they're driving slow in the slow lane. And I would do like the honk horn thing, like the thing to get them to honk their horn. And bad audio, great visual for that. But like Cole's just basically just like pulling his arm up and down, whatever. I mean, times were different when I was a kid now. Like, it's so different how, like, things are. I mean, I'm almost 30, so it was just, like, those little simple things. But, like, also, like, I knew someone who, like, was in truck driving or whatever. And it just seemed like the easiest job that, like, you just got to drive a big giant truck around all day and deliver shit. Like, I don't know. When I was a kid, I felt like that was like the coolest thing. But yeah, I never got into that. I grew up a little bit. But
going to be 18-wheeler truck driver.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And I wanted to like, not even like, I wanted to be the ones who like were just going across the country every day and stuff and just like see the country and stuff like that. So I guess, in the grand scheme, I had the right idea of just like wanting to travel the world or whatever, like everyone wants to fucking do. But, you know, I was just like, yeah, I'll drive a big giant truck while I do it.
Yeah, but, I'll get paid while I do it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, man, that was the dream. And then, I don't know, I feel like it really changed whenever I graduated high school. I didn't even know what I wanted to do still. And then, you know, I took some online classes and then went on to get a degree in communications. And here we are. I'm not getting paid to do this podcast, but you know, we keep dreaming. We keep dreaming over here.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate the questions. I expected maybe one, but you gave me two. I appreciate that. It's always fun talking, man. I know things have been crazy, and you know, I'm hoping. I keep mentioning South Bend, and I mention it because it's the closest to me. So that's where I want to see you go. But if they send you to AA, which again, I wouldn't say it would be a big surprise if they did, but I personally would be a little disappointed because I'd love to come out, me and Tommy and a couple other guys from Cubs on Tap, come out and see you and everyone else that we've had on our shows and you know, cheer you on and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, no problem, man. Anything else? I don't have anything else, but thanks again for coming on, man, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely, appreciate it.